Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Man, I can tell you that the Lord has been just busting my heart up today. All since I sat down this morning at the kitchen table to pray, God has just been throughout this whole day just breaking my heart down and humbling me. And it seems like the more that I walk with the Lord, the more that I start to realize that I need Him more. Which sometimes doesn't make sense, but it seems like the closer I get to God, the more I'm aware of sin in the world, the more I'm aware of sin in my life, the things that need to go from my life that are not lining up with the Word of God. And the more I get close to Him, the more I see, I need you, Jesus. And that worship, man, was blessed. I honestly, that's the best worship I've been a part of in a while, and I've been a part of a lot of worship. And that's not because people are awesome. That's because He inhabits the praises of His people. And as people stand up and say, Jesus, here we are, we worship You, and we do it in unity, something happens because the Spirit comes and He inhabits the praises of His people. Amen? He inhabits the praises of His people. And I was praying today and saying, Holy Spirit, please, tonight, move. Move in this church. Move in the midst of the people in this church. And He answered. And so thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. And I tell you what, man, the Spirit of God is oh, man, it just wants to just boil out of me. And I can feel it. And I am ready to preach. I'm excited. And that's because the Holy Spirit does that in me. There's a heart and burning inside of me to preach the Word, to be ready in season and out of season to preach the Word because we need it. We need to be desperate for it. It doesn't matter how long you've served the Lord. It doesn't matter if you've been doing it for 50 years, 10 years, 5 years, a year, 6 months. We need the Word of God to stir our hearts. We need it. We have to understand that we live in a day and age where corruption is everywhere. Sin is running rampant everywhere. But we need an increase of His Spirit. Because the days we live in are testing. There's sin everywhere. It's everywhere you go. It's in your face. And we have to have the Spirit of God working in us to resist. Because there's a pull. There is a pull in this world to pull us away from our faith. And we have to stand. We have to stand. We have to stand as the body of Christ. We have to. And Lord, do away with me if I ever reject Your name. And I'm serious about that. If I ever reject Your name, just do away with me, God. Because how could I? How could I reject Him who's done so much for me as He has done so much for you? If you confess me before men, what does the Bible say? I will confess you before the Father in heaven. And we need to confess His name. We need to confess the name of Jesus, because in the name of Jesus, there's power. There's nothing apart from Him that has power in it, except for when I speak His name, I walk in His truth, that's where the power's at. This flesh is miserable, this flesh is weak, and apart from the Spirit of God, we are miserable people. That's the truth. That is the truth. And there is a war waging on this earth right now for your soul to pull you away, to get you to reject Jesus. This world wants you back. Because if you're saved, you've said yes to Christ at one point in time, you were walking with Him. You weren't walking with Him and you said yes. You said yes, Lord, here I am. And now there's this pull to pull you back. There's this worldliness that is running all over the place saying, I want you back. And the world, if you didn't know, will take you back with arms wide open. It'll say, come on back. But we have to resist. We have to say no. And it's so important in these days that we walk in the Spirit. We stay in step with the Spirit, is what the Bible says. We don't get ahead of Him. We don't get behind Him. We stay in step with the Spirit of God. And if we do that, and we continue to humble ourselves, and we continue to do the Philippians 2 thing, and have the attitude of Christ, of one of humility, of one of sacrifice, we're going to be okay. And we're going to look at some stuff. I'm going to get my message. I might not even preach my message. It might just, who knows, man. Father, I'm going to pray. Thank you for what you've done tonight. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness to your church. Thankful, God, tonight that you are with us, that you dwell in the midst of us. Where two or three are gathered, there you are. And you inhabit the praises of your people. And so tonight we are here to worship you, God, not just simply because we're in worship with instruments and with singing, God, but we want to worship you tonight as we hear your word. As your word goes forth, let us worship you. Let us be thankful. Let us receive the word with gladness, God. Holy Spirit, you know my heart. You know, God, that I know I can't do this without you. I cannot. There's no way. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you bring forth power. It says that you would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so, Lord, I hold you to your word. And I pray, God, in the name of Jesus for your power tonight. And Father, may your word go forth in power to till up, God, the stony heart tonight. If there's any stony hearts in this place, God, I pray that you till it up with the word. That you lay the hammer to the stone and you bust it to pieces. Father, we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I titled this message, Practice Makes Perfect. Practice Makes Perfect. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start with verses 5 through 7. In the previous verses in this chapter, God says to us, Peter actually, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us that God has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and to godliness. It also says that he has given us very great and precious promises. And it goes on to say, starting in verse 5, that for this very reason, because you have promises, and it's all to bring forth a divine nature in you, the divine nature of God to be formed in you more and more. It says in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Now, there's going to be a list of things here, all starting with faith. It all starts with our faith in Christ. And we have to come to the conclusion that just because we said yes to the Lord at some point and we said a sinner's prayer, it may have been genuine end there. Truly got saved in that moment when you said yes to the Lord, but it doesn't end there. I hear of so many people that just get saved and then their life falls apart. It's because they don't follow through in their walk with the Lord. We have to continue in this list of things. And it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith virtue. The way you could look at virtue would be moral excellence or integrity. You are living with a morality in your life that is according to the word of God. So not only do you say yes to Christ, you have faith in him, and you say, you know what, Lord, I don't just simply need faith. I need some moral excellence in my life. I need some virtue in my life. And it says to add to your virtue, knowledge. And the way I put knowledge is that we need a greater understanding of who God is. Not if we come into this relationship with the Lord with some preconceived ideas of who God is. We need to take what the scripture says, and we need to take it at face value, and we need to say yes to it. And you move on from knowledge into self-control, and self-control could be chalked up as restraint against sin, to say no to sin. Self-control, to keep yourself in check. Control yourself. And we live in this world that says everything contrary to these things. It's do what you want. Have no self-control. Live however you want and according to whatever moral standards you feel is okay. That's not the truth. The truth is that we have a guide. We have it right here. And if we fail to come to the conclusion that we need Jesus and we don't follow through in our walk with Jesus, that's on us. Because God has given to us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's given it to us. We have it. We just have to say, yes, Lord, more. I don't just simply want faith. I want the moral excellence. I want the virtue. I want to walk in the knowledge of God. I want to have self-control. I don't want to just give in any old time I feel like I want to do something that's contrary to the word of God. Amen? To self-control is... To self-control, it says to add steadfastness. And I put steadfastness as being an unwavering devotion to the Lord. Now, in some translations, it's going to render it patience. But steadfastness in my heart and in my eyes is that I need to have an unwavering devotion to God. It doesn't matter what's thrown at me. It doesn't matter how bad the devil tries to beat me down. I am going to stay faithful to the Lord. I'm going to stay with the one-track mind, and that's in pursuit of Him. I'm not going to turn my eyes away from Christ. I'm not going to get so sucked in to all the things that other people do. I have to follow Him. I have to say yes. I have to bow to my knee and humble myself if times get hard and realize that it's all part of God's plan. If we go through stuff, it's part of God's plan. If we suffer, it's part of God's plan. If He blesses us, it's part of His plan. We need to relinquish control of our lives, man. And that's something I struggle with at times. So difficult. It's so difficult. Because every time in these moments I say yes to the Lord, there's part of me that wants to go back over here and say, no, I want that back. I like to be in the driver's seat, Lord. We can't do that. To steadfastness, he says to add godliness. And the way I put godliness is simply to act and talk and walk like Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus was very godly in his character, in his speech, in his action. And we need godliness added to the rest of this list. We need to be like Jesus. We need to strive to be like Jesus. And anything that doesn't look like Jesus, we need to say, Lord, help me get rid of this thing. Because it's not of you. It's not the character of God. It's not the divine nature that God wants to bring forth in us. And to godliness, he says, to bring forth and to add to godliness brotherly affection. And I put this down as care and consideration for the needs of others or selflessness. At times, I get so stuck on me. I get so stuck on me and my needs and what I want. And I miss the opportunity to look into other people's lives and say, man, I see a need there that I need to meet. I need to bless them. It's because I'm inward focused. I'm not having brotherly affection in my life. And so if we're inconsiderate and we don't really care about other people's needs, we need to say, God, I need some brotherly affection. Help me. Help me care about others more than myself. Consider others better than yourself. On to brotherly affection, it ends this whole passage in 5 through 7 with love. And I put this down as affection shared like Christ shares it. How does God have affection? How does God love? And we're going to need a lot of work in this area because at times we can be so unloving in our walk. We can be so arrogant. We can be so full of pride. And God has not called us to that. God has called us to a place where we're humble. It's going to be do. We humble ourselves. And when pride rises up again, we humble ourselves. It's going to be a constant fight. I remember the Lord warned me years ago when He placed a call on my life to preach His word and to be in ministry. And the one thing He spoke to me is you're going to deal with spiritual pride. And that is going to be one of the things that tries to take you out. And boy, was He right. I can be so stuck on me, so full of pride, so arrogant, quick to think I have the answer, quick to think that brother's wrong, quick to point out faults in other people. And I need help. I need grace. And some of you can fully identify with that. In your hearts, it's always churning. Well, look at that guy. Look how he does that. Oh, look at her. And there's this stuff that goes on inside of us. But yeah, we probably never tell anybody that. I'm telling you that because I don't care. I need to be truthful. I need to walk in the spirit of truth. We don't like to bring our sins out on the silver platter and say, here's my sin. It's embarrassing. Oh, well, if that's going to lead me into righteousness, let me be embarrassed. So you see that this isn't simply to stay in faith and remain there and get saved and stay in that spot. We have to do something. Now, this isn't about having works in your life, and you're not saved by works. You're saved by grace through faith alone, not that you can boast about any of your works. But we need to get up and do something. We need to take action as the body of Christ, and if we want to grow and we want to mature and we want to be more like Jesus, we got to do something about it. You're not going to sit back on your couch watching TV and become more Christ-like. You're not going to sit there and play video games hour after hour and become more Christ-like. And this is the stuff that constantly tries to creep into my life, and I have to say no. Because above all else, it's more important that I follow him and that I become more like him because I have one life to do this thing. And I'm never going to get it back. And so do I want to stand before the Lord and say, sorry, God, for all those opportunities that I could have turned away from that and done things that were for you and for your kingdom? Or do I want to, you know, what do I want to do? How do I want to answer? And I don't know if there'll be regret in heaven. But I don't want to, you know, be in that position to look back and say, man, I could have done more. Why didn't I do that? I don't want regret. Moving on, 2 Peter 1:8, the next verse. It says, for if these qualities are yours and they're increasing, if they are yours and they're increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't ride the coattails of your family. You can't ride the coattails of some people around you that love the Lord. It's not going to work. You're going to be exposed as a fake if you're doing that. And eventually, your supposed faith is going to fall apart. I'm sorry to tell you that. Just because mom was a great saint, just because dad was a great saint, just because your grandfather was a preacher, doesn't mean that you're good. Our righteousness is filthy rags before God. You can't do that. It's not just knowing about God and professing the Lord. It's not. It's about growing. It's about having these qualities that God gives to us, and it's about increasing in these qualities. And if we can do that, we're going to be effective for God. We're going to be fruitful for the Lord. Amen? We have to increase. If you're not bearing fruit, if you look at your life and you're like, man, I really don't do a whole lot for the Lord. I really don't see any fruit in my life. I don't see the evidence of my faith being proven in works. Then you need to go here. You need to go through this list and you need to say, what am I lacking? What am I lacking out of this? Am I lacking self-control? God, help me if I am. If I'm lacking an unwavering devotion to the Lord, God, help me not to be double-minded. We need to examine ourselves. I probably examine myself too much. Which can be like a fault, but you know what? It's a good thing because it always brings me back to the place of saying, God, I can't do it. You need to do it in me, Lord. John chapter 15, Jesus says that I am the vine and that you are the branches, and whoever abides in me and I in him, it's going to be him that bears much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. If you read a little bit further into verse 8, it says, by this my Father's glorified, that you would bear much fruit. And so prove, there's got to be proof. Is there proof in your life that you are a disciple of Christ? Is there evidence? Because you need to prove by bearing fruit to glorify the Father. And if glory's not being brought to the Father and there's not much fruit, or if there's none at all, there's something going on. You're not proving yourself to be a disciple if that's the case. And again, we need to humble ourselves and come back to the place of saying, God, help me. God, I need you. God, I'm desperate for you. Lord, I've been doing this thing for 20 years, but you know what, God, I'm desperate for you just as much today as I was when I knelt at the altar and said, God, I need you. We can't lose that. And if it starts to get choked out, we have to say, God, stir it up. God, stir it up in me. Moving on to 2 Peter 1:9. Says that for whoever lacks these qualities, whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind. And he has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his former sins. What happens if you're blind? Your vision is gone. You've lost your vision. And without vision, it says in the Bible, in Proverbs 29:18, it says, without vision, the people perish. Or it says without, in some translations, it says without a prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. If we lose our vision, if we lose our sight, if we lose our direction, we need to have vision. We need to have vision. You think of a running back in the NFL. He needs vision. So that when that hole is right there, and he needs to bust through that thing and have vision to see down the field where they're at, the defenders. Because he's going to need to make a cut here, and he's going to need to make a cut there, and he's going to have to do a spin move here. We need vision, and without vision, we're lost. And it talks about this in Matthew 15, about the Pharisees. Jesus pretty combated them about their traditions, and that they were so hung up on their traditions and what the forefathers did, that they were missing the righteousness that was in Christ right in front of them. And he rebukes them for this, and the disciples say, did you know that the Pharisees are offended? And Jesus pretty much tells them, if my Father has not planted it, then it's going to be uprooted. Speaking of them. If my Father has not planted it, it will be uprooted. And he pretty much says, let them be. Don't you even worry about them, because they're blind. And the blind can't lead the blind. You know what happens when the blind leads the blind? They both fall into a pit. In Matthew 28, Jesus gave his disciples, shortly before he ascended back into heaven and the Holy Ghost was poured out, he gave them the Great Commission. He said to go, therefore, make disciples, baptize them from all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you fill them in on everything I've commanded to you. Tell them. We can't fulfill the call for the Great Commission on our lives if we're blind. And according to 2 Peter chapter 1, if we're not saying these are mine and not increasing in them, we are blind. And who are we to try to lead somebody else to Jesus and disciple them and lead them into the things of the Lord if we ourselves are not increasing and growing in those qualities? You can't. Amen? 2 Peter 1:10. Here's kind of the whole thing. The title of the message was Practice Makes Perfect. Practice makes perfect. If you look in verse 10, it says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. The more we walk with the Lord, the more diligent we are in our walk with God, he confirms our calling. He confirms our election more and more. The more I walk with God and the more diligent I am to seek him, the more I start to see his plan unfolding around me. Not just in my life, but in the lives of others. And when I see all of this going down, what does it do? It establishes in my heart that my calling, that my election is secure, that it's firm, that's settled on a firm foundation. And we have to continue to be diligent after the things of God. Again, you can't sit back and just expect God to do everything for you. He's already provided salvation. That's a done deal. All you have to do is put faith into what Jesus did. But there's more. There is more. So practice makes perfect. It says in that verse, if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. The word perfect, if you look it up in Greek, one of the words, I don't know if there's several, but there's one that's teleos. And it simply means mature. It means complete. It means full grown. And it also can imply the thought of fulfilling the process. Fulfilling the process. Perfect doesn't mean that you're flawless, because if we were flawless, then we would be Jesus. Jesus was the only flawless guy. He was the only flawless human being to ever walk the face of this earth. And we are not him, last time I checked. Amen? Jesus was the only one that could come and be perfect in the sense of the word that we look at it. Perfect in the Greek is different. It simply means that you are going to walk in maturity. You're going to grow in these things. You're going to grow in the knowledge of God. You're going to continue in the way of the Lord. And the end result is that you fulfill the process. You walk faithfully until he calls you home. This is something I'm convinced of. This verse says, if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. I'm convinced that if there's a Christian that has been walking with the Lord and somehow he backslides, he walks away from the calling. He pulls the Jonah and runs. Somewhere along the line, that person, I don't care who it is, stopped growing in these things. They said, well, I have this one. I have love and I have brotherly affection and I have some faith, but I don't really feel like having self-control. I don't feel really like having an unwavering devotion to the Lord and being steadfast. Somewhere along the line, it breaks down. And little by little, Satan chokes it out. And they let him. And then all of a sudden, they're wondering why they fell away from God. And I'm convinced that because that's what the scripture says. If we continue in these things, if we increase, if we grow, we practice them, because practice makes perfect. Practice makes you be able to walk in and fulfill the calling on your life. Practicing these things. I guarantee you, nobody could ever come to me and say, I was practicing all of these things, Derek, but somehow I fell away from God. That would oppose scripture. First Corinthians 12:7 simply says this, that the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, in context of this scripture, it's dealing with the spiritual gifts. And it's saying that these gifts are manifested for the common good of the body, because it goes on later in that chapter to talk about the body of Christ. But we can still draw a principle from that. And it's this. It is this. If we expect to grow in these things, it's going to be a pretty smart idea to surround yourself with people that are walking in these things. If I lack self-control, it's probably a good idea that I get around some people that have some self-control and that are walking in self-control. If I lack moral integrity, I need to get around some people that are integral with their morals. Makes sense. It's simple. That's what's great about Teen Challenge is we have everybody here with the same goal. They come in. These men come in broken, desperate for help, and they get to surround themselves with a bunch of leadership that are on the same page. They're going the same way. Now, I'm not saying I got all these things figured out, but the one thing I am saying is that I desire to increase. I desire to increase in these things. Hey, I'll take some water. Thank you. I probably won't stop to take a drink. I can't stop. But the Spirit is manifested for the common good. So the principle we can draw out of that is that if we have something in us, because the thing is that the Spirit manifests all of these things in our lives. The Spirit manifests faith. The Spirit manifests virtue. The Spirit manifests knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection and love. That sounds like the character traits of God. And the Spirit manifests those. And it's not just simply so we can say, man, look how much steadfastness I have, everybody. It is to benefit everyone around you. When I see somebody walking in a great amount of faith, I'm like, man. And I hear faith stories, I'm like, man, I want to do that. I want to be like that. I don't want to sit back and expect things to fall out of the sky and happen for me. And if I see somebody that's steadfast in their heart, no matter what comes into their life, they're walking with the Lord and they're saying, I'm going forward. I'm not looking back. It says that in Philippians. We forget the things that are behind. We look at the things that are ahead of us and we strain forward for the prize. It's the goal. It's the prize of the upward calling in Christ. And when I see somebody walking and the Spirit is manifesting in their lives some of these things, it makes me want to be like that. I don't sit there and be like, man, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be godly. No, I see that. I'm like, man, that dude has laid his life down and I want to be more like that. Amen? So as you manifest some of these things in your life, it's not just simply for you. It's for those around you to bless those around you. It's for the common good. Now, this is it. That was it. Bless the Lord. I think the steam has run out of my engine. That's all good. I want to pray. I know it's just about 8:30. We got, you know, a little bit of time. If there's anybody that's part of Voice that prays, you know, yeah, Michael can come up and do some worship, some music. But again, I want to go through this list. I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray for you tonight because as I go through this list again of what each one of these traits means, one of these qualities means, if something hits you, and as I preach tonight, if something struck you and you're like, man, I am not doing so hot in that area. I need some brotherly affection. I'm more concerned with me than everybody else. I want you to come up. I want you to focus on one thing that stuck out above the rest. There may be several that you need prayer for, but I want you to take the one that you feel like you are the least equipped with. And I want to bless you, and I want to pray that God is going to help you to walk in that. Amen? And the prayer and the other team that can come up and pray. But here it is, virtue. Moral excellence or being integral. Knowledge. An understanding of who God really is. Self-control. Restraint to say no to sin or keeping yourself in check. Steadfastness is not being double-minded. It's a pursuit after God no matter what comes your way. That nothing's going to throw you off. Godliness is being more like Christ. It's talking like Him. It's walking like Him. It's acting like Him. Brotherly affection, again, if you're more concerned with you than anybody else, you need to come up and receive prayer. There's something going on. And if you just want to increase in love, the love of God and how to show affection like God does, I want to pray for you. Amen? Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you move in power, God, that your Spirit, God, speaks to our hearts, that your word breaks down the walls. It breaks down the strongholds, God. It's the only thing that can do it. And so, Father, as these come forward tonight to say, I'm lacking and I need to increase, God, I pray a blessing over every single person that's stepped foot up here. Every single person that's come forward, it's an act of faith even to step up here. So thank you, Lord, for the faith that's in them, the faith that's responding, God. And Father, I ask right now for an increase, Lord, as they stand before you, as they stand before your throne, they know in their hearts, God, each one what it is that they need an increase of. And so even right now, Father, as I stand up here and pray, God, I pray an increase in the name of Jesus. I pray an increase in the name of Jesus. I pray an increase in the name of Jesus. Let every wall come down in every heart in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray fire, God, over these men and women that have stepped forward. I pray fire over each one in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for humility that is working in these men and women to say, I need more of you, God. And Father, I pray that every need would be met at this altar tonight. That not one person would walk away from this thing thinking that they're lacking something, God, but they will walk away confident that you did something. You did something. You stirred something, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you minister. That you minister grace. You minister grace, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Continue. Continue, God, tonight. Continue, God, tonight. Hallelujah.
So I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. So I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm in me. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me.